Very well. Oh, by the way, when I get to my third one, I've incorporated.
You must get up very early in the morning.
I've incorporated sound. So,
I don't like sounds.
Do you want to go first?
I guess so. What are we doing?
What are you doing?
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I'm sorry. I got a little lost. Anyway, it's that time on a Tuesday. We wrap crunch time. I jumped so far ahead of myself right there.
Oh, what are we doing? What are you doing?
Either way, it's amazing that these guys don't understand that there are like local networks, national networks. Yeah. Everybody's got a recording device. And
we do
they're not sometimes just not very bright. And get in line. Alex leads off.
Yeah, we fit in all of those categories. To an unidentified spectator at the London Marathon, I ask,
what are you doing?
Here's one guy who was identified, Jake Halliday. Jake was running in the London Marathon and was doing it for charity. It was supposed to benefit a cancer charity called Bloodwise, but Jake lost his number with about a mile and a half left in the race, therefore couldn't finish. Kind of a silly rule, which could honestly deserve a what are you doing of its own, but obviously his number fell off, and unbeknownst to him, a random spectator picked up the number and decided it would be fun to finish the race. So he literally took off his shirt, ran the last mile or so, posed for pictures at the finish line, was given a medal for finishing, and by all accounts, other than a complete lack of sweat or even looking like he had been exercising, looked like he had just run the race. The only way they eventually knew he wasn't legit is because he had Jake's number on, and by the way, no one knows who this guy is. He got away with the number and the medal. Meanwhile, the guy running for charity, who actually ran over 26 miles at one time, was left with literally nothing. Remember our tweet of the day motto? It's not that difficult. Don't be a jerk, as we ask.
What are you doing?
I'm asking Carmelo Anthony.
What are you doing?
So you're supposed to be part of the OKC version of a Big Three with Westbrook and Paul George and, you know, good returning talent, Steven Adams, and, you know, get running around round one with home court advantage. Well, that was a failure. And a guy who'll end up in the top 15 all-time for scoring, yeah, he shot 37%. From three-point land, 21%. And the Cardinal sin, he went full Jimmy Hoffa in the fourth quarter. Nowhere to be seen. We checked the Meadowlands everywhere. Nada. Zero fourth-quarter points in six games, 4-1. Minutes were there, but after a while, Billy Donovan had him pulling splinters. And his reaction, it's on them! They didn't have a proper strategy to use me. Really? Like getting you to, let's say, the only thing you excel at? Shoot? Brick City? Then at his age, with how he played, shot down any idea of coming off the bench. Real team play, Melo. So you're saying a team who picked up your monster salary where you have the option this season for 28 mil sabotaged you? You don't make sense. But a lot of dollars, as we ask.
What are you doing?
Yeah, the strategy, and they should have known this, is to leave him alone on the right side of the floor, give him the basketball, and then spread out. Everybody else over there, Melo's going to shoot. To Victor Oladipo, I ask.
What are you doing?
Man, we don't get a lot of bad beats during the playoffs, but we got one in Game 7 of the Cavs and Pacers. Cleveland led 105-98 with a few seconds left. Pacers rushed into the front court. Victor Oladipo drained a three-pointer at the buzzer. A meaningless three-pointer in terms of the final score or outcome of the Pacers' season, but not if you bet on the spread, because you see, the spread for Cavs-Pacers Game 7 was set at 6.5 points, with Cleveland getting the edge. 105-98, and even I can figure out this math, is 7 points. So if you bet on the Cavs covering that bad boy, you're feeling pretty good about life. Maybe even yelling at the TV for the Cavs to get a hand up, just in case. But you were feeling good about things. Then Oladipo hit that three and made the final score 105-101. And that, ladies and gents, is 4 points. Vegas said it was a $3 to $5 million swing for bettors. But the silver lining is that 70% of people who bet on the line bet on the Pacers. So Vegas ended up losing on it. But you try telling that to the 30% who bet on Cleveland, as we ask.
What are you doing?
To L.A. manager, Dodgers, Dave Roberts, I ask.
What are you doing?
Look, I get the skipper on a team underachieving. He's got to make a move. Can't be complacent when you're the unanimous pick to win your division and defend your NL pennant. You know, what's happening now is not satisfactory. I think he went a bit too far in the disciplinary area over the weekend. His great young first baseman, Cody Bellinger, was batting against the Giants. He goes for a low pitch, almost to one knee, ropes it into the left center field gap. The team, by the way, losing 4-0. what are some of the cardinal rules of base running? For you kids listening at home, never make the first or third out of an inning at third base. Bellinger cruises into second, leadoff double. Roberts pulls him for not hustling. I've seen the replay many times, and different calls by the play-by-play guys. There was no hint he was dogging it. Not sure what's happening behind the scenes, and if the manager wants to sit him for other reason, hey, it's your team. But for that, no sale, as we ask.
What are you doing?
To the Nashville Predators, I ask.
What are you doing?
Preds have a ritual when they play a playoff series, apparently, and that's to smash some sort of vehicle that represents the team they're facing. They call it the smash car. They paint it with the logos and whatnot of the other team and smash it. Fans actually pay $5 for one hit with a sledgehammer, $10 for three hits. Money goes to charity, so it's cool. But they are currently in a series with the Jets and tried to get clever. So they brought in an aircraft for it. They set it up in front of the arena. Fans smashed it. Pretty cool. But it wasn't a jet. It was a Beechcraft Skipper, which is a prop plane. I mean, if you're going to go all out and literally buy an airplane to smash, you might as well get a jet, right? Like, look, I'm not super worked up about this or anything, but this just kind of seems lazy. Like, if you're going to go through the process of literally buying an airplane and stripping it down, like draining the gas, taking off the wings, all that stuff so it can be smashed, at least buy the right plane, right? I don't know, as we ask.
What are you doing?
I should have just brought a bunch of model planes. The whole idea right? was suspect.
Jump on them.
Okay, remember, I already forgot. To me, I ask.
What are you doing?
Remember the Friday before last I was in a panic?
Yeah.
Because I lost my wallet and I had my Morty Seinfeld moment.
My wallet's gone! My wallet's gone!
So I looked everywhere. I retraced my steps. Had only been home, bank, little Marca on 8th, here. I'm talking hands and knees, looking under cars and parking lots, phone calls. Then it's like, it's gone. Debit card, canceled, already got a new one. Driver's license, actually, had a very efficient, pleasant experience at DMV. Said no one ever
Our
except
day
me.
Was ruined.
And then I had some business cards, nothing I really couldn't live without. Then it hit me yesterday. I had the Cumulus golf card in there.
Oh, no.
Free golf. That's a $350
oh, no.
value.
Oh, no.
You're talking five free rounds.
I am depressed.
And I'll tell you, if some jackwagon had found my wallet and used the debit card, U.S. Bank would have covered it. I couldn't have cared. This was a gut punch. I'd never lost my wallet. Maybe it's with Morty's and Jerry's couch, as we asked.
What are you doing?
My wallet's gone.
In my opinion, that sucked.